Amen. And I think it's a song. Thank everybody, all the brothers who participated thus far in our worship service. And it's a song we just sang. We do need a friend like Jesus.
Amen.
When we're going through the things that we're going through in this life, we need someone that we can lean on, someone that is closer than a brother. And there's no other greater one to have than to have Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank everyone for your presence on this afternoon. To assemble here, those that are able, to assemble, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We find written in the book of Acts, in verse 42 and 47, those things that we've thus participated in thus far, where Luke penned for us in verse 42, that they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine as teaching from the word of God. Also in sharing, giving back to the Lord what he has blessed us with. Also in us communing with the Lord, our mind as was led this afternoon goes back to the suffering, the pain and suffering that Christ did for the entire world in dying on the cross. And the prayers that we offer to God on our behalf and on behalf of others. And also we sung without the accompaniment of instruments. The Bible says in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now I'd like to report from this morning, we added one to the Lord on this afternoon, on this morning, amen?
Amen.
And so if you're here this afternoon and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want as the precious soul on this morning did, he was taught the word of God, he taught, was taught and understood the facts of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:15 that the gospel has the ability to save a person. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You have to believe that gospel message that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. He died for our sins. They buried him in a tomb. He rose again the third day, never to die again. Amen. Those are the facts of the gospel. One, once one hears that and believe it, one must repent of their sins. In other words, the life you've been living, no matter how you one may have thought he's been living, we haven't been living according to the commands of God because we have yet to obey the will of God. So repentance is required. Paul said in his letter to the Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So one must repent of those sins, make the confession that I've just stated according to Acts 8:37. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after making that confession, one must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all their past sins. And once you complete that obedience, the Lord adds you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ. Christ purchased a church according to Acts 20. In verse number 28, Christ purchased a church with his own blood. He only has one. Christ has one wife, that is the church. He only has one. And those that are born in the church, the female gives birth to the baby. And those, anyone that's born, they're born through the church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
On this afternoon, want to look at, thank you, brother, for reading in our hearing, Isaiah chapter number 6. We spoke this morning, those that were participatory this morning, we spoke from the subject, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, wrote and talked about the characteristics that Timothy had and how faithful he was to God and how he served God. Paul said, I find no man like-minded that had the mindset of Timothy, that Paul said, who would naturally care for your state. So Paul talked about Timothy, how he had a care for the Lord. And I challenge or share with us this morning that we need to have that same type of care for the church and for the Lord, that we put the Lord first in our lives. We put others second in our lives, and we put ourselves third in our lives. I think when I was growing up, they had a movie, those that may follow sport, many years ago regarding Gale Sayles and his friend, Brian Piccolo, and the movie was entitled, I Am Third. Yeah, he put others before himself. And in our case, spiritually, we want to put the Lord or the church first in our lives. We put others before us, as Paul said in the Philippian letter, that we esteem others better than ourselves, and then we put ourselves third. And so I wanted to speak for a few moments from that thought, what we find that was read in our hearing on this morning, and this afternoon, that was read in our hearing, where we get the subject title from the message on this afternoon, found in the 8th verse of Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah made the statement, "Then said I, here am I, send me." That's the statement this afternoon. "Then said I, here am I, send me." Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible records, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, I don't know what it was that was going on in Isaiah's life, but what he said regarding that, he said, in the year that the king died, he said, I then saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And he said he was high and lifted up, and his train, his robe, filled the temple. And then he said, and above it, he said, the seraphims, each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he did fly. So whatever we know about this seraphim had six wings. Two, he said, he covered his face. He said two of them, he covered his feet, and the other two, he used to fly. And he said, and one of them cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. And so I think from that, we ought to take that the Bible said, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, and the earth is filled with his glory. We ought to be able to look around and we can see God's glory as we look around. We can see in the earth the glory of God. We can look at a lot of things, but what we want to be mindful of is to be able to look through the earth and see God's glory. He said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house were filled, he said, with smoke. Then said I, now Isaiah begins to talk. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I think if you are like me, I can say that I am undone. All of us are undone. We'll stand before the Lord. None of us. We want to mature. The Bible, when it talks about those being mature, being perfect, the word perfect in the New Testament refers to the maturity of an individual. But we know being a Christian is almost like being in school. You never get enough education. You will never mature enough that you can't grow no more. Amen? So we want to know that we always want to have a mindset that that Luke shared. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. Yeah, there are things, there are times when we say things we are not. There are times when we may say things that are not true. Our lips are not clean. He said, however, not only that, I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. And all we have to do is look around and look at the news, and we can see that we live among people with unclean lips and unclean lives. Amen? He said, but my eye have seen the Lord of hosts. I know Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he said that as a Christian, we can see the Lord by faith. Paul said, for we, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Right. We ought to be able to see the Lord in our lives and be able to see God working in our lives and be able to see, because Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto the prayer. We also have to understand that God is watching us, and we can see the Lord through our eyes of faith. Yeah, we can see him. Then he said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thorns from off the altar. And the Bible says in verse 7, and he laid it, that coal, upon my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Well, now, that may be the case of Isaiah, but we understand. Turn your Bibles to 1 John, because we want to make sure that we are not, you know, the Old Testament is written for our learning, but we also, it is not for our law. And unless we read things in the New Testament that we read in the Old Testament, then that's not law for us. When it comes to us and our sin, note in 1 John chapter number 1, and I'll begin at verse number 6. 1 John chapter 1, we're talking about how in Isaiah's case, the Bible said that the seraphim placed a coal upon his lips, and he said his iniquity was taken away and his sin was purged. Well, for those of us that are Christian, the Bible reads in 1 John 1 and 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I was able to, fortunate enough, to hear a part of the lesson on this morning, and I think I heard our brother James Boutte mention about how the fact that there ought to be some consistency in the lives of a Christian. We ought to, say, if we walk in the light, does that mean that I won't sin? No. That's why we're going to read the rest of the text. But there ought to be some consistency in the Word of God. I also heard, as I was going through, if I remember, one of our sisters made mention that the fact we have the Word of God has to be placed in our mind, that David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The only thing that can stop us from sinning is the Word of God. Yeah, that's why we need it in our life. We need the Word of God, and we need to study the Word of God. And I don't have to walk around and be able to quote Scripture, but I want to know what the Word of God said. So when I'm tempted, when I look in Ephesians 4 and I read what the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, I may be tempted to steal. Amen. However, when the Word of God is in my heart and the Word of God says to me that let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hand. So as a Christian, I learn from the Word of God that I may have stole in the past, but now I work to make a living. And so the Word of God is able to keep me from sinning. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We have, that's the reason why I want to learn the Word of God. As David said, I want the Word of God to be hid in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against thee. I don't sin against the Lord. Why? Because the word of God is in my heart. But will I sin? Let's stay with the text. He said, now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yeah, we're going to sin. So what do? Unlike Isaiah, the Bible says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where repentance comes in. I know when I sin, all of us, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to repent of those things that we know. And I like to share this again with those of us to know. Brother Stroud's position, when it comes to repentance, that repentance needs to be as public as the behavior. Yeah, what do you mean by that, Brother Stroud? Well, if I do something out in the public and the public sees me do something and I do something wrong, then I make a public confession. However, if I do something in the privacy of my home, I do wrong and I sin at home, there's only three people that know about it. It's me, my wife, and God. Now, I don't need to make that public. I apologize to my wife again, but I also understand that God is the only one that can forgive sin.
Amen.
Yeah, God is the only one. Let me share that in the Bible in Mark chapter 2, because sometimes sometimes you do wrong to people and you say, well, do you forgive? I'm not ready to forgive you. Well, you ain't got no power to forgive no sin anyway. Look in Mark chapter 2. While I'm here, before I close this lesson, Mark chapter 2. And the Bible says, I begin at verse number 8 to pick up what all that Jesus said. And immediately when Jesus, Mark 2, 8, perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? He said, now, whether it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Now watch what he says in verse 10. But that ye may know,
yes,
that the Son of Man,
amen,
has power on earth to forgive sin.
Amen.
That's the only one. Yeah, so I go to a person, I do wrong from to him. I ask him, I say, brother, do you forgive me? Do you accept my apology? Brother Stroud, I accept your apology. However, understand this. Just because that person accepts your apology, you have to apologize to the Lord for what you've done.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the teaching tonight.
Amen.
Is that Jesus said that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin.
Amen.
Yeah. And so again, of what we do, we ask when we wrong people, it's still consistent with the will of God. The Bible teaches us in two areas, Matthew 5 and Matthew 18. If I've done wrong to somebody, go to that person and settle that thing. Go and resolve that situation. Again, also, if I know that someone has done something to me, I have a responsibility to go to them to allow them to apologize. So in both cases, the Bible teaches Matthew 18, 15 and Matthew 5, the fact that when there are wrongs done, and we will wrong each other, we're human, it will be a wrong done. That's in Matthew 5, and the Bible says in verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. When I know I have wronged somebody, I have to have the spirit to go try. The word reconcile means to settle that thing. Yeah, settle it. Settle that thing. That's if I've done somebody wrong. Well, if somebody done something wrong to me. Matthew 18, Bible teaching verse 15. Jesus taught. Again, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. See, God has already a principle by which all we got to learn how to do is live by them. You know, we'll have a more peaceful congregation if we do things as God has given us stipulation. But when I do things based on how I feel and not how I am taught, then that's when we have chaos and confusion that the Bible said, Paul told the Corinthians, that God is not the author of confusion. We ought to be able to settle any matter. Amen? So the Lord tells us how to do those things. But when we sin, we confess our sin, and God will forgive us of those sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then we find, as I move to a close, in verse number 8, our scripture, that we find that Isaiah penned in verse number 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? We talked this morning about how Paul sent Timothy. But now, this time, God, the Godhead, notice you see the word, who will go for us? That us is talking about the Godhead, which consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So the question is asked, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I'm challenging all of us this afternoon, those that are that are at home, that are members of the Highland Heights Church of Christ, and those that are present here this afternoon. I want each of us to accept the challenge that Isaiah responded back to the Lord and said, and that's my title, then said I, here am I, send me. That's the question this afternoon. I said this morning to the congregation, we have enough people, we have enough body, we have enough members to do whatever work the Lord wants us to do. What we need is those members saying, as Isaiah said, here am I, send me. When it comes to work in this congregation, here am I, send me. When it comes to things that need to be done, here am I, send me. And not just allow certain brothers or certain sisters to do all the work while I have to get active myself. That's the message that's after me. Then said I, here am I, send me. We're going to have activities next Sunday. We are having our fellowship, spiritual and physical food fellowship. And so we put those cars out. I think I looked this afternoon, and they were gone, which is a good thing. And so what we're saying is that our responsibility is to invite people to hear the word of God. Amen? Yeah, we have to do what somebody did for each of us. Somebody had to teach us. Somebody had to take us to a Bible class. Somebody had to invite us to worship service. Somebody gave us an opportunity to hear the word of God, and we obeyed the word of God. We need to do that for every person that comes in our lives that we can extend that invitation to. We want to get busy trying to invite people so we can add people to the body. We can do those things that the Bible teaches us to do. Our purpose is to make all men see what is the mystery. That mystery is to get people to understand. I think sometimes people don't understand. I know when my brothers came up here and stayed with me, I had to show them, because we grew up in a world, for those 20 plus 18 years that I was at home, I never knew and never heard about the Church of Christ. Never heard about it. And then when I went back home after I obeyed the Lord, I found out that one block away from my grandmother's house was a Church of Christ building where Christians worship. However, when my brothers came up, and I say this here to the congregation in the evening time, afternoon time, my brothers, and I think I've said it before, and I don't mind sharing again, hadn't spent real time with them in over 40 years. 40 years. When I left the home, my home at 18, to come out here to Texas Southern to go to college, I went back on occasion. But But my brother, Daryl Chester, gone his way. My brother, Ronnie, was still there with mother. But we didn't really have any relationship. And then when they came up here, after 40-some years, and to hear them, to teach them the word of God, I told my brother when they came up here, and I'm closing, I told my brother, I said, now, on Saturday, picked them up on Thursday, we went out to enjoy themselves, and my wife treated them like a king. She treated them more than a king than she treated me, but that's okay. Yeah. My brother, and I think each one of them said when they got ready, they said, Affirming, that's my nickname. They said, man, we don't want to go back. They said, we don't want to go back. My wife took care of them, and they loved it. But what I did was I told them, I said, Saturday, I want to study with you guys the Bible. And I just took out a lesson. I did it, I think, at Brother LaFall's funeral. The title of the message was, It's Appointed Unto Man Once to Die. That was the lesson I taught. And I had them, I put my PowerPoint up, and I gave Chester the Bible, gave Ryan a PowerPoint to look at. And my older brother said to me when I got to Romans 1:15, he said, Furman. I said, what? He said, man, you got to believe the gospel. I said, what? He said, you got to believe the gospel. And then when I finished the lesson, both of them said to me, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Yeah. And I mean, those are the first two that I know in my family to obey the Lord. But I also understand this here. When a person does not put hindrances before them, and you can teach them the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. Now, my brother, one thing he said, Furman, I've been baptized before. I said, okay. I said, that's good. I said, let's go in here. And I told him in Acts chapter 19, well, there were men that had been baptized before under John's baptism, but they wasn't baptized under Peter's teaching. They haven't been baptized under the gospel. And when I shared that with him, he said, so you know what? I can't get, he said, I got John's baptism before. I want Peter's baptism. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so I just thank God for that, and I like to share that. But I think that's all of our mission. Amen. Those individuals, be it family, friends, or co-workers, that will open themselves up for us to invite them to worship service or to a Bible study. We want to do that so we can have people just like us. Amen. They have the opportunity to obey the word of God. And so what I'm saying to all of us, we need to make that statement. Then said I, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And so I want to close this to the congregation. Let us look within ourselves. And as I said this morning, as we found about Timothy, Timothy put the Lord and the church first. He put others second. He put himself third. Amen. And that means that we have to love one another. We have to be a spiritual family. And I think as someone we were talking this morning, we have to understand, even though we have biological family, we have to understand that our spiritual family comes before our biological family. Where your Bible at for Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. The Bible shared that with us. Galatians 6 and 10. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Watch it. Especially, they are special, unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Yeah. So those, I have my biological family, but now I also have a spiritual family. I'm concerned. I should have concern about my spiritual family, how they're doing, how they're getting along, that we interact with each other's lives. That's what we need to do here at Highland Heights, get more involved in each other's lives. So we're going to share that next week, some things we got coming where we can spend more time with each other, not just only when we're assembled to worship. Amen? Amen. And so that's someone today as I close that is not a Christian. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ to be the Son of God, then you are water baptized for the remission of all your past sins, and the Lord will add you to the church as one did this morning. There's someone who's subject to the invitation. We bid you to come as together we sing and stand and sing a verse of a hymn.